I'm really excited for Shane and Petra, and I'm excited how that will rub off on the rest of the church. Excited for that. So for the remainder of the time, I'd like to talk about a subject that has come up multiple times in my life for the last 30 years or more. And I hear a lot of people in churches that call themselves Christians say that God killed my dad, or God killed my child, or God did that, or God, why did you take my daughter home so early, or where we blame God for these things, and where people have actually lost their faith over this, where they say, I'm not going to serve a God who does that. And so it's been a very confusing thing for the many people, and partially because we don't know the Bible well enough, and partially because of there are so many voices talking to us. But they'll make a statement, how could a loving God do that? That's not possible. If he's a loving God, he wouldn't do that. And God's plan always was, from the beginning of this world's creation, that we would search for him, and we would communicate with him, and then he would talk to us and he would guide us. That was the plan right from the beginning. And so he saw that people were not doing that. Adam and Eve didn't stop doing that. Eventually the Israelites didn't do that, so he had to put down the law. That was a very sad day when he had to put down the law, because his plan was never that he would guide us by force. He wanted people to ask him, and he would talk to them, and he would lead them, and that was always his plan. And somehow in our church life, we have become somewhat confused on what the enemy does, what God does, what we do, what life does. So I'd like to put up five boxes on the screen just to give us a bit of an idea what I want to talk about. I want to mention some things that I want to put into these boxes, see which boxes they fit into. So I'm just going to name several things that we go through in life where we have to make decisions. For example, if I don't walk in victory in my life, who's to blame for that? Well, we say that must be the devil, because I don't have victory. And because we know the devil is tempting us, we know that. And so we can blame the devil. If I don't have victory, it was the devil's fault. But is that really a true statement? Where in the Bible does it say that you believers won't have victory because of the devil? If you go through the book of Romans, it will tell you again and again, it will tell you that Jesus died so you don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. So Jesus died, you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. In fact, you can choose life. It says it multiple times in Romans. So let's read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 57, first of all. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse tells that we can walk in victory. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And then one more in Galatians 6:8. For he who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit life everlasting. So it tells us that we can choose. So when we say that we don't have victory, we have to admit that I'm allowing my flesh to control me. We don't like that. We like to blame it on someone, because the minute I blame it on someone, then I'm not responsible. We love to blame it on someone. But if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that if I'm not walking in victory, that means that I am choosing flesh. I don't like it either, but I think that is the truth. Because if you read through Romans, and I won't read any verse in Romans this morning, but it tells you multiple times that he died for your victory. He died that you can have life. And ask the question, should we then sin that grace may abound? No, he says, that's not what his aim was to say. Because we can always call on him. So when we're tempted, we say, well, the devil tempts me, I can't overcome. And some of you even say, well, God would help me. If he wanted me to overcome, he would help me. Let's read James 1:13. It says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God or by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So we know that temptations do not come from God. They come from the enemy. However, this whole subject that we're talking about this morning wouldn't be a subject had it not been for the fall of man. So we could push every issue that we have in life, every sin that we see in life, under the fall of man. However, God gave people a choice right when they were created. It was a big risk that God took when we gave mankind a choice, but he wanted mankind to choose him. That was his whole plan. He wanted mankind to choose him and love him. Your children, you want your children to love you. You don't want to force them to love you. Then it's not love. And God was the same way. And then James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So it explains to us in a few words how sin works, how temptation works. We're all tempted from time to time. However, if I don't leave it, don't ruminate about that temptation, or don't allow the temptation to go through my mind for a period of time to the point where I have justified why I'm going to do this or why I can't, when I give myself the room in my head to think about this, then it will grow on me. If I am clear that I'm not going to sin, the people that are most victorious are those that are very clear, I'm not going to do this sin. Those that are not sure will probably end up doing it because they think about it until they can't get out of it. But it says, if our thinking keeps going, when our desire has conceived, in other words, it has found some roots, then we go ahead and do it. And when we do it, that's when it brings death. But there's a period from the time I'm tempted till I do it. There's a period. It doesn't happen like this. If I'm tempted to lust, for example, or I'm tempted to steal, from the time I would like to go steal and I go into a store and steal, there's a time frame. That means my mind has been thinking about this probably for a while. So we can't say that the devil made me do it because Jesus died for it. He died for it. So we can't have victory through him. The devil scripturally cannot make you do it. Or what about on a positive note? What if I have a revelation? I read the Bible and I have a revelation of the Word of God as I read it, and something becomes alive to me, it becomes clear to me, and I say, oh, that's what it means. And if that's what it means, then those other four topics come into view. Or then I'm going to look at this other verse. And that verse, that makes sense too. It needn't necessarily be just when you read the Bible. You can have a revelation when you sit and you drive or you work. All of a sudden, a thought comes to your mind and something becomes very clear. That comes from God. That belongs in the God box. Because he wants to lead us. And he leads us in many different ways. That's one of the ways. James 1:16, it says, don't be misled. Verse 17, whatsoever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created a light, all the light in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He never changes. So if God is always a good God, you can't blame him for a bad thing that happens in life. It doesn't work that way. So what if I walked down the road and I had an accident? Let's say I went for a walk and a car hit me from the back and killed me. Who did that? Who can answer me? Who? Louder. Life. Life did that. It wasn't necessarily the enemy or God. The way my body is created, it doesn't withstand a hard hit from a car. It just doesn't. So life is going to happen. And many times we blame God for it. Well, then we say, well, God allowed it to happen. So if your child throws a rock into a car window at Co-op filling station, are you as a dad to blame for that? Or if your 30-year-old son has a ticket going to Winnipeg, can we blame you as a dad for it? Or if you as a 50-year-old son lies to someone, can we say it's the mom's fault? That's what we do to God. He allowed it to happen. And we think if he allows it to happen, it must have been his will. That's a blatant lie. That's where we go wrong so many times. And we say, well, God could have stopped it, therefore it must be his will. God gives us a choice. Things that happen in his life are often not from him. Or let's take another one. If you got cancer, who did that? Life did that. God or the devil aren't necessarily involved in this. Life happened. The life box are things that happen. Gravity is also in the life box. It happens. When I drop something, it falls to the floor. It happens. There's some of the laws that God has put into place. So cancer does not come from God. If it did, we would never pray for cancer, pray against cancer or for healing. But it didn't come from God. I don't believe the enemy has the power to give you cancer. However, initially it came from the enemy, but that's now life. And so Jesus tells us to pray for sick people, implying that he does not like what is happening, or else he wouldn't ask us to pray against it. So that's just, Charlie Kirk was killed a few weeks ago, and now we say that, well, millions of people are not coming to the Lord because he was killed. Therefore, it must be God's will. That's not true. It doesn't make it God's will. A lot of sickness has brought us closer to God because we're searching for answers. We're searching. We're looking. We're looking for a higher power. It brings us closer to God, but that doesn't make it God's will that it happened. But we confuse those sometimes. First of all, God allowed it to happen. Therefore, it's God's will. That's a lie. And because some good things come out of it, it must be God's will. That's not true either. Romans 8 says, he works all things together for good to those who love him. Because God knows there will be a lot of bad things happening in this world. He knows that. So he says, he can turn that around to good. So that's Charlie Kirk, for example. He was killed. A lot of good things are happening now. He turns it around for good. But that doesn't make it God's will. When you blame God or the devil for everything that happens, you'll get confused. Because it doesn't fit. Does God punish you with sickness? No. Does God lead you with the Holy Spirit or sickness? What guides you to all truth? Well, sickness can make us panic for truth and look for truth. We might find it, but he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to guide you to all truth, not sickness. So God doesn't make you sick. So during the break, somebody came and asked, what about the verse in Hebrews 12 where it says that God chastens those whom he loves? And I thought I'd read a few verses in that chapter. It says, since we respect our earthly father who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the father of our spirits? Interesting statement, father of our spirits. Just keep that in mind. And live forever. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God disciplined is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. For he's the father of our spirit. How does he guide us to all truth? Through the Holy Spirit. For us to believe that in order for God to get my attention, he has to give me cancer, I believe you're missing the mark completely. The Holy Spirit will guide us to all truth, not cancer. So we need to be aware that discipline can come through God telling me, Irvin, what you said there was wrong. Irvin, what you did there was wrong. And I'm disciplined. Or what if you can't forgive? You just can't forgive. You love to forgive, and you try to forgive, but you just can't forgive. Is that God or the enemy? Or is it your flesh not wanting to let go? The last one, this is a little bit of a difficult one. Who decides when you will die? Who decides that? Well, you say God knows our end, so it must be God. So God knows exactly when I will step down this first step here. He knows exactly when. But who decides when I'm going to go? I do. But he knows ahead of time what I'm going to do. He gives me a choice. I can go stand down there and speak if I want to. He gives me a choice. So let's not blame God for things he doesn't do. So let me read you a few verses out of Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. That will make us think a little bit. So children, obey your parents in verse 1, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And in verse 3, it says, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So this verse implies that we have something to do with the length of our life. Would that be a true statement? Who would agree? Put 20% of you. It implies that if we do not do this, we may not live as long. I'm not sure exactly. There's no specific to the promise. So let me give another example. In 1900, the average life expectancy globally was 31 to 32 years old. Who decided that? And there's a reason why it was so very low, as they're saying, is largely due to infants' death, because a lot of infants died, a lot of mothers died in childbirth. They didn't have the medical care that we have today, so many people died for various reasons. So the average life expectancy was very low. In 1950, it went up to 48 years, just in 50 years, to 48 years. They were developing more medication and more operations, and then in 2000, it grew to 67.7 years. In 25, they expected to be about 73.49 years, average. So did God change? Did God say, well, the world is going to be so much better in 2020 than 1900, we can let them live longer? No. Mankind developed. And they're now living more than twice as long on an average, globally, on an average, as they did in 1900. So who chose to give you longer life? Or was it just life happened? People developed. So we can say that God wanted everyone to die at 31, 32 in 1900, and now we can live at 73. It wasn't God. It was God helping people to find cures, I'm sure. But we blame God for things he didn't do. I'm told in the drug world, people that buy and sell and use drugs, their lifespan is a lot shorter than on a normal, honorable job. I don't know what the number is. It seems to me it's under 40, but I'm not totally sure about that. So is God saying that you're going to work in the drug area and you're not going to live as long? Or is it people choosing to live in that world, knowing that they won't live as long? Knowing that the risk of being killed is very high, very, very high. So my concern is that we've blamed God for things that he has not done. And my concern is that we get confused over these issues, and we say, well, I'm not going to believe in God that allows that to happen. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. Over a million people got aborted in U.S. and Canada together. Is God doing that? Well, we would say, no, abortion, that's not from God. We know that. But an older person, Maybe that's from God. Like, we have to be consistent with the belief that we have and what the Word of God says. We have given the devil way too much credit and given God blame that is not due him. Is God a good father or a bad father? Is he sometimes good, sometimes bad? Because if he takes people at any time and all these aborted kids, and then he's not a good father. So we have to decide, based on the Word of God, is he a good father who gives good, perfect gifts, or is he not? Can God sometimes tempt someone, or does God decide sometimes, I'm going to give these people all a bad day and I'm going to give them all cancer? And no, that's not how it works. The verse in Psalm 116 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So that verse almost makes it sound like he takes his children home to be with him. Or some people will say, well, this person died early because God needed an angel. No, he didn't need an angel. God has lots of angels. But when they come home, when believers come home, he invites them. He loves it. He welcomes them every single time. It's simply saying, when my children come home, I love to invite them home. It's not saying that I wish people would die so I can take them home. God is a giver of life. If he didn't have the desire to live, this would be a horrible world. We all want to die. It'd be a really, really bad world. He's given us the desire to live. But God knows that we're going to be in a world that's very confusing, and we're going to believe things that aren't true. And he says, if you labor, come to me. And he says, pray one for another. Care one for another. Because he knows this life is going to be difficult for many people. He knows that. He says, if someone is sick, go pray for them. And he reminded us many times that God is love. And he reminded us many times that as God loves me, I love you. And people need to hear this because of this fallen world. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to. But I wish we could get that into our head, that God is a good father all the time, not sometimes. Because if he's only good sometimes, you can never trust him. You can never fall in love with a God that is bad one day and good the next day. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God is a good father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children. Often we are asking questions that we don't have answers for. Often we are wondering about things and don't understand things because we see through our glass darkly and it's quite dim sometimes. And Lord, sometimes we've blamed you for not being a good father because you allowed something to happen. And sometimes we think you're a good father. And Lord, I pray that all of us this morning would understand truth. That you don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have always wanted to lead your children. You have always wanted your children to call on you and ask you for direction. You sent your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth on a daily basis. Lord, teach us how to become believers in you as a father, not just as a spare tire that we can use once in a while. And Lord, we repent for so often blaming you for things that you had nothing to do with. Lord, I pray you give us a discernment and wisdom as we go through this life, as you meet up with things that are not clear. But I pray that the foundation of it all, that we would be clear on who you are, We will learn your character, how you think. Lord, we bless you as a good father. Always a good father. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've come to the end of the